Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. We have a pretty fascinating deep dive for you all today.
Absolutely.
We're covering a whole lot of ground today, looking at some developing stories about email encryption.
Oh, yeah.
Bootloader vulnerabilities and then a possible ransomware attack on a major retailer. So
it's a lot of fun.
Let's jump right in. First up, we're talking about Google and email encryption.
Okay.
So they're making it easier to use end-to-end encryption in Gmail for business users. And, you know, a lot of people, myself included, hear the word encryption and think, ugh, that sounds like a headache.
Oh, yeah, it can be.
You know,
right.
Especially with like older systems like SME, where you had to deal with certificates and key exchanges and all that.
Yeah, a lot of IT work for sure.
It was a real pain for IT teams. And honestly, a lot of people just gave up.
Yeah, you really had to be dedicated.
Exactly.
It wasn't very user friendly.
Yeah, well, Google's trying to change all that.
Hmm.
So their new system is aiming to make end-to-end encryption like super easy.
Interesting.
You know, so you can send encrypted emails to anyone, no matter what email platform they use.
Okay.
And they claim it takes very little effort.
So no more headaches?
Hopefully not.
Right.
And the best part is all the complicated stuff happens behind the scenes, so users don't really have to worry about it.
I like the sound of that.
Right. It just works.
So tell me, how does it work?
Okay, so imagine you're a Gmail business user and you want to send an encrypted email.
Right.
All you have to do is click on this little additional encryption option when you're composing your email.
That sounds simple enough.
Yeah, and if the person you're sending it to is also using Gmail,
okay,
whether it's a business account or personal,
right.
The email just automatically decrypts for them.
Oh, nice. So no extra steps.
Exactly. Seamless and easy.
So what about people who don't use Gmail?
So if they're not on Gmail, they'll get a special link.
Okay.
And this link takes them to a secure, restricted version of the Gmail interface.
Got it. Where they can read the encrypted email and even reply securely.
Oh, that's really clever.
Yeah. And to reply, they can actually use a temporary Google Workspace guest account.
Very cool.
So they don't even need to create a full Gmail account.
Interesting.
Yeah. And here's another neat thing. If the recipient is already using Smime,
okay,
which is that older system I mentioned earlier,
right,
Gmail will automatically use Smime for them.
So it's compatible with the old system.
Exactly. So people who are already using Smime don't have to switch to something new.
That's great for interoperability.
Yeah. It ensures everyone can communicate securely regardless of their setup.
So how are they actually accomplishing all of this?
So the technical side of things is really interesting.
I bet.
They're using something called client-side encryption, or CSE.
CSE.
Yeah. And with CSE, your emails actually get encrypted on your device.
Okay.
Before they're even sent to Google's servers.
So the encryption happens locally?
Exactly. And the key to decrypt those emails stays with you or your organization. Hmm. So Google doesn't even have access to the keys.
Nope. This is all managed through a workspace control.
Okay.
Which lets companies manage their own encryption keys and store them separately from Google's infrastructure.
That's a pretty big deal.
It is, especially for organizations that deal with sensitive data and have strict rules about data privacy.
Makes sense.
So things like data sovereignty, HIPAA regulations, or export controls.
Yeah, all those areas where data security is critical.
Right, and by using CSE, they can make sure that Google and any other third party can't access their data.
Wow. So it's basically indecipherable to anyone without the key.
Exactly.
So is the CSE technology brand new?
Actually, it's been around for a while, but it was mainly used by very large workspace customers.
I see.
It became available as a beta on the web in late 2022. And it was originally introduced in other workspace apps even earlier than that.
So this is more of a wider rollout then.
Exactly. It's becoming more accessible to a broader range of users.
Okay.
Now let's shift gears and talk about something a little different, but equally important.
All right. What do we have next?
This next story is all about bootloaders.
Bootloaders.
Yeah, bootloaders.
Okay.
So for those who aren't familiar, bootloaders are basically the very first piece of software that runs when you turn on your computer.
Right. So they kind of kickstart the whole process.
Exactly. They get everything going.
Yep.
And Microsoft's security team has been busy using their AI tool called Security Copilot.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And with this tool, they've uncovered a bunch of previously unknown vulnerabilities in some popular open source bootloaders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they found a total of 20 new vulnerabilities in GRB2.
GRB2.
Yeah, U-Boot and Bearbox.
Okay, and are these bootloaders commonly used?
Oh yeah, GRB2 is like the standard bootloader for most Linux distributions, like
Right.
Ubuntu, which lots of people use for servers and even desktops.
Yeah.
And U-Boot and Bearbox are very common in embedded systems and Internet of Things devices.
So things like smart TVs and routers and stuff.
Exactly, all sorts of connected devices.
So why are bootloader vulnerabilities such a big deal?
Well, because they run before anything else.
Okay.
If someone can exploit a vulnerability in the bootloader, they can basically gain control of your entire device.
Oh, wow. So it's like the foundation of the house.
Exactly. If the foundation is weak, the whole house is at risk.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And Microsoft found 11 vulnerabilities in GRUB2 alone.
That's a lot.
It is. And some of these vulnerabilities are pretty complex and technical.
Like what kind of vulnerability?
Well, they found things like integer overflows and buffer overflows, which happen when the bootloader tries to process certain types of files.
Okay.
And there were also flaws in specific commands and even a side channel vulnerability.
Side channel.
Yeah, and how GRU2 handles cryptography.
So that's a lot of different ways that an attacker could potentially exploit these flaws.
Right, and what's especially concerning is that some of these vulnerabilities could allow attackers to bypass Secure Boot.
Secure boot.
Yeah, it's a security feature designed to make sure that only trusted software can run during the boot process.
Oh, I see.
But if an attacker can exploit a vulnerability in the bootloader, they might be able to bypass Secure Boot and install malicious software.
So it's like picking the lock on the front door.
Exactly.
So what about the vulnerabilities in U-Boot and Bearbox?
So with those, they discovered 9 buffer overflows
Okay.
related to how these bootloaders handle different file systems,
All right.
like SquashFS and EXT4. And they also found problems with how they handle symbolic links.
Symbolic links.
Yeah, which are kind of like shortcuts that point to other files or directories.
I remember those from my Linux days.
Now, the good news is that exploiting these particular flaws in U-Boot and Bearbox
Okay.
would likely require physical access to the device.
So someone would have to physically have the device in their hands?
Right, but with GRB2, some of these vulnerabilities could potentially be exploited remotely.
Oh, so even more dangerous.
Yeah, attackers could try to bypass Secure Boot remotely and install something called a bootkit.
A boot kit?
Yeah, it's a type of malware that infects the boot process.
Well, that sounds nasty.
It's very stealthy and hard to detect.
So even if you reinstall your operating system, the bootkit could still be there.
Exactly. And bootkits can also be used to bypass other security measures like BitLocker,
Yeah, locker.
yeah, which is a full disk encryption feature.
Right.
So if attackers get a bootkit installed, they can essentially gain complete control over your device.
That's scary stuff.
Yeah, and it can affect the boot process, the operating system, and they might even be able to spread to other devices on your network.
So it's not just a problem for one device. It could affect a whole network.
Exactly.
So what can we do about these bootloader vulnerabilities?
So the most important thing is to keep your systems up to date.
Updates are always important.
They really are, because Microsoft actually released updates for GRB2, U-Boot, and Bearbox back in February 2025.
Okay, so the patches are already available.
Yes, yeah, so you just need to make sure you're running the latest versions.
It's
And it's worth noting that Microsoft actually shared a bunch of details about these vulnerabilities.
today.
Yeah, they listed their CVE numbers.
CVE numbers.
Yeah, those are unique identifiers that are assigned to publicly disclosed security vulnerabilities.
All right.
And they even gave examples of specific vulnerabilities, like
Right.
what? CVE-2024-56737,
Okay.
which is a buffer overflow in how GRUB2 handles HFS file systems.
HFS, that's Apple's file system, right?
Yep, often used on macOS.
Okay.
And then there's CVE-2025-0678,
Right.
which is a high severity integer overflow.
Hmm.
That happens when GRUB2 reads squash 4 files.
Squash 4.
Yeah, it's a compressed file system that's commonly used in embedded Linux
I
systems.
see.
And what's really cool is that Microsoft said using Security Copilot, their AI tool actually helped them find these vulnerabilities much faster.
Really?
Yeah, they estimated that it sped up the process by about a week compared to manual analysis.
So the AI is really proving its worth in cybersecurity.
Definitely, it's not just about finding vulnerabilities either. Security Copilot can actually suggest ways to fix them too.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it can help speed up the development of security patches.
Which is super important.
Absolutely, especially for open source projects.
Yeah, where developers are often volunteers.
Right, so having tools that can help automate some of the work is a huge benefit.
All right, so we've talked about email encryption and bootloader vulnerabilities.
We have.
What's our last story for today?
So our final story takes us to the world of retail and the ongoing threat of ransomware.
Okay.
So there's a major retailer called Sam's Club.
Sam's Club, I know them.
Yeah, they're a huge warehouse club owned by Walmart.
Right.
And they're currently investigating claims that they were hit by a ransomware attack.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And the group claiming responsibility is the Klopp Gang.
Klopp. Those guys are bad news.
They're known for their sophisticated ransomware operations.
Yeah, they've been behind some pretty big attacks.
Exactly. And Sam's Club is a massive company.
Huge.
They have locations all over the U.S., Puerto Rico, Mexico, and even China. And they have millions of members and employees.
Yeah, and they generate billions in revenue.
So a ransomware attack on Sam's Club could have a really widespread impact.
Definitely a lot of people could be affected.
Yeah. Now, Sam's Club has acknowledged the reports and said they're investigating.
Huh?
But the Klopp Group has already listed Sam's Club on their dark web leak site.
They like to brag about their attacks.
They do.
So have they released any proof yet?
So far, they haven't actually released any proof of a breach, but they did release a statement saying that Sam's Club neglected customer security.
Mm. Classic.
Huh.
Klopp trying to put pressure on the company.
Yeah, this is a typical tactic for them.
So what do we know about how this attack might have happened?
Well, it's still unclear, but Klopp has a history of exploiting zero-day vulnerabilities.
Zero-day.
Yeah, those are flaws in software that are unknown to the vendor.
So the vendor hasn't had a chance to patch them yet, making them very valuable to attackers.
Right, and Klopp was actually linked to a big wave of data theft attacks back in January, where they exploited a zero-day in Clio Secure file transfer software.
Clio?
Yeah, and we still don't know how many organizations were affected by that vulnerability.
Hmm, could be a lot.
It could be significant.
So Klopp likes to go after file transfer software.
They do. They've targeted Acelion FTA in the past.
Right.
And Moviet Transfer and Go Anywhere MFT.
Yeah, those are all popular file transfer tools.
Yeah, so it seems like they're focusing on this area.
Interesting.
Now, it's worth noting that this isn't the first security incident for Sam's Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in 2020, some customer accounts were compromised in credential stuffing attacks.
Credential stuffing.
Yeah, where attackers use lists of stolen usernames and passwords to try and break into accounts on various websites.
So they're basically trying their luck with credentials from other breaches.
Exactly. And at the time, Sam's Club said it wasn't a breach of their systems,
okay,
but rather due to compromised credentials that were obtained elsewhere.
So customers were reusing passwords.
Most likely.
Yeah, that's a common problem. Yeah,
it is, and it highlights the importance of using unique passwords for every online account.
Absolutely.
Now, this whole situation with Klopp's claims is still developing.
Right.
But it's a good reminder of the very real threat that ransomware poses to organizations of all sizes.
Yeah, no one is immune.
And especially large organizations like Sam's Club with so much valuable data.
It's a big target for these ransomware gangs.
It is.
So what does all this mean for our listeners?
Well, I think these stories highlight the importance of being aware of the threats out there.
Agree.
And taking steps to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
So things like using strong passwords, enabling two-factor authentication, keeping our software up to date.
All the basics.
Yeah, the basics are still really important.
And being cautious about phishing emails and suspicious links.
Absolutely.
Because that's often how these attacks start.
Right. And if you're a business owner or IT professional, it's crucial to have a solid security plan in place.
Definitely.
Think about things like data backups,
yeah,
incident response plans, employee training.
Yeah, you need to be prepared for the worst.
Because unfortunately, ransomware attacks are becoming more and more common.
They are.
And the impact can be devastating.
For sure.
But by staying informed and taking proactive steps, we can reduce our risk.
Absolutely.
And hopefully avoid becoming a victim.
That's the goal.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of cybersecurity.
Yeah, it's been an interesting one.
It has.
Lots to think about.
Definitely. And we hope you found it informative.
We'll be back soon with more insights.
That's right. We'll see you next time on Cyber Mornings Daily.
Take care, everyone.